KGO 810.
Good evening, I'm Pat Thurston. So today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to the father of my children and all the daddies out there. I wish I could say happy Father's Day to my own pop. But he passed away. You know, I just realized he passed away in 1993. That was a long time. That was, what, 21 years ago. I miss my daddy. I miss him terribly. So we have a guest. He is a dad, and he is known sometimes as Dada Mike. He is Mike Heenan. He is a stay-at-home dad. He's got two young daughters in Northern California. One is one. One is 3 years old. He is a devoted husband, author, avid reviewer, and he is a Huffington Post blogger. He's also been on Fox News, but we'll forgive you for that. He's been on Fox and Friends. He's been on, what were you just on, Today Show or Good Morning America?
That's right.
It was the Today Show. And he's a featured blogger for the National At Home Dad Network. And he is also a contributor to this lovely new book that just came out. It's called Dad's Be— is it out now?
It is out now.
It's available. It's called Dad's Behaving Dadly. It's a book of fathering stories that hopes to dispel the antiquated notion of dad as the inept dolt or emotionally unavailable paycheck proxy. And I'm just delighted that you're here. He's here with me in studio. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Pat.
I'm interested in your blog. And I know that I got this article that I shared with my listeners at one time, and perhaps we're going to have an opportunity for you to do it better justice than I did. It's a letter. It's an open letter to rap music. And that's when I thought, oh, this is a guy that I really like. Tell us about AtHomeDadMatters.com.
In a nutshell, I spent way too long in my life being a writer who doesn't write. I'm sure you know about that phenomenon. And my wife is the most encouraging person I've ever met in my life, and she encourages me to follow my dreams on a daily basis. And you know, what started as kind of a personal log of the day-to-day activities with my children that I don't necessarily have in the absence of a real present father in certain circumstances with my mother, I basically have no history of my childhood, so I've been determined to create one for my daughters, like it or not. You know, we'll deal with that later. But yeah, I wanted them to have reflections of where my mind was at the time and what activities we were in on a daily basis, and I just started writing them down. And like you mentioned, thank you for that, started getting national attention that I was not prepared for, and sort of taking the ball and running with it. And you know, consequently, in this process, I've met amazing dads all over. I've sort of joined the movement, so to speak, and it's been one of the best things that's happened.
Well, have you found that a lot of the dads who are at-home dads are doing that by choice, or is it some circumstance that's forced them into that, or are they more single dads who are the at-home dads?
So in my personal circles and online circles, it's definitely a conscious decision for the most part. I mean, granted, 2008, the economy collapsed. A lot of families are doing what they have to do to survive.
Right.
There's certainly a fair share of circumstantial stay-at-home dads, but the ones that I become close with and the ones that are all about positive parenting and being active, involved, nurturing fathers at home, it's all pretty much been an active choice for them.
Yeah. And why did you choose to be a stay-at-home dad? Is it because it gives you an opportunity to write when you want to write? Or is it because you just really wanted to be close to your children? You wanted to be the nurture? Is your wife's not a stay-at-home mom, too?
She's not. She works. She's
okay.
The reason we can live this dream.
Okay. So why did you want to be the stay-at-home parent?
So it had absolutely nothing to do with writing. It stemmed from the hours that I was working in my profession. I was an assistant food and beverage director, and I was sort of on a fast track corporate-wise, and they had me scheduled for off-site training, and already the nature of the industry is 15, 16-hour days. And,
yeah.
You know, we did 40 weeks of anticipation for our firstborn, and then I got to see her not at all. And I went through some things at work trying to shift departments, and promises were made that weren't exactly honored, and you know, I got fed up, and all the while I wasn't being able to provide for my daughter, you know, the father experience that I didn't have and was determined to. And so talking it over day after day with my wife, you know, as I said, she's the most supportive woman I've ever met, and she said, you know what? Do what you want to do. Do
you
what
prioritize.
Makes you happy.
Yeah. That is,
we'll make it work.
That's so fantastic.
It's amazing.
Well, tell me about the birth of your first daughter. I mean, what was that like for you?
Terrifying, and that's
it is terrifying.
That's basically the gist of the story that I contributed to Dad's Behaving Dadly is that I was in a place of abject horror.
It's called Fathering Blind.
It is called Fathering Blind. Thank you. And yeah, that sums it up. I had no idea what I was getting into. Yeah. I didn't have
any of us really? Do we? I mean, I bought all the books. I got the what are they, the
What to expect.
Yeah, when you're expecting.
We cleared out Barnes & Noble shelves. We did the same thing.
Yes, do they really help? They kind of do, but nothing really prepares you.
Right, a lot of on-the-job training, that's for sure.
Right.
So, you know, in our process, they can never tell you what's going to happen, but they tell you the full spectrum of what might happen during delivery. And, you know, ours was, you know, my wife is a rock, and she was determined to do everything her way in the natural way.
Did she mistreat you in the delivery room?
Absolutely not.
She didn't?
No, she's full of grace. She's
You're kidding!
Full of kindness, even in those circumstances. But
I'm stunned.
Yeah, it was a...
She is a rock.
She is. You'll have to meet her. It was a harrowing ordeal for the both of us. It didn't go quite as planned. Lots of alarms and bells and whistles and... ultimately, emergency surgery, and as a first-time dad with my wife and, you know, baby-to-be being dragged away, carted away, and just the whole thing was very intense. It would have been no matter what, but our particular cards that we were dealt made it even more so, and so that's the,
totally
the gist
scary.
Of the story. That
totally frightening, yeah. But it all turned out wonderfully, and
absolutely.
You've got two amazing daughters, and they're
so
still
much.
Just little bitty babies.
They are.
You know what's really hard? I'm just going to tell you right now, when they go to preschool.
Soon.
Because
September.
It's like going to college. I mean, for me, it was. I couldn't stand it.
Absolutely. After this much time face-to-face
at
knee level
yours.
Day after day.
But here's the deal. They let you have them back in the summer. And so I always look forward to that because I get my kids back. And then they're totally under my influence. And I love that part.
Well, in the summer, I'll be counting down the minutes when they have her for 2 hours.
Yeah, that is kind of true. Okay, we're going to talk when we come back. I want to talk about some of the difficulties, some of the unique things for stay-at-home dads that might be different from stay-at-home moms and what they face. And, you know, what do you hear from dads? We'll talk about that when we – oh, no, we have time to talk about that now. Okay, well, that's good. First, I think I'll ask you this. Is it kind of like Mr. Mom?
It is, in a sense. Personally, that – term tends to be a little more offensive than other terms. We are not pretending to be mom. We're not babysitters. We're, you know, primary caregivers of our own children. So it is a lot of, you know, domestic duties and household work and this mad scramble day in and day out.
But when you first start doing it, I mean, isn't it? And I think that's what made that movie so funny, the Mr. Mom thing, because he was totally unprepared for what moms actually do. Of course, he didn't start, though, with the birth of the child. He started after the kids, you know, he'd already, the mother had been the primary caretaker, and he was the person who was the primary breadwinner, and then they switched roles, and so that made it a much different circumstance than yours. Okay, well, let's do take a break. We'll open up our phone lines if we've got listeners who want to participate on this Father's Day. My guest is Mike Heenan, and he is also known as Dad.
Dada Mike.
Although Dad is good too. And he's a contributor to a book called Dad's Behaving Dadly, and he is also the chief content creator at homedadmatters.com. I'm Pat Thurston, the number 808-0810. Right now we get a traffic check with Jim Bartow.
Bay Area's news station, KGO 810.
Happy Father's Day. Good evening. I'm Pat Thurston. My guest is Mike Heenan, Dada Mike. Now, why did you pick that?
You know, for lack of more creativity, I suppose. It just sort of fell in line.
Yeah, and your little girls, they call you Dada?
They do.
Yeah.
That's ultimately where it came from.
Okay, tell me something about your kids.
Oh, boy, what would you want to know? How much time
do
I
mean,
have?
Exactly. I could talk about my kids for hours and hours and hours, and sometimes I do. But, you know, what about your one-year-old? What's something that as soon as you think of her, what do you think of?
She is just my Buddha baby. She is the happiest
Buddha
child.
Buddha baby. Does she have one of those little bellies?
Oh, absolutely.
What a doll.
She is constantly smiling. She's just starting to pick up her dad's stubbornness, her older sister's stubbornness.
Yeah,
but
good.
Until now, she's just been the smiley, laughy, giggly. They're complete polar opposites. I mean, mean, they're both wonderful.
Are they really? So tell me about your three-year-old.
My three-year-old is the strong, determined one.
She's like mom.
She's fiercely independent. It's rare to catch a cuddle with her, although it's increasing as she ages.
Oh, that's good.
Right, right from the get-go, she's known what she wants to do, and she's determined to do it, and she's so hungry to learn, and she's...
Aren't they just fascinating?
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Just watching them, it's so incredible, the things that they do and the way that they learn and how they change from day to day.
It is. And our home life is just a running dialogue with her for the most part. The other one's just starting to formulate her words. And so she's fairly articulate, and she's the first to ask you questions and ask you for further explanation. And it's just awesome to see in a three-year-old.
So are you a person who speaks to your children much like you just speak to anybody else, or do you do a lot of the baby talk?
I don't do any of the baby talk.
Me either. I never did.
I try to be conscious, of course, of what I'm saying and how, a child will interpret it, but I definitely don't do the baby talk. I talk to her like she's a human and like she matters. And like,
yeah, right. I think that's terrific. I think that's great. You are going to so hate preschool.
I know.
Not that they talk baby talk, but you're just going to hate losing that. You're going to hate them going away. So you, sir, have been a fan of rap music.
Absolutely.
You like the rap. You like the hip hop.
I do. I like the culture. I grew up in it. I mean, I've had varied musical interests, but definitely.
Have you ever been a rapper?
I have. In high school, I was a rapper in this area. Nothing major, mostly parties and kids stuff.
Yeah, but you did it. You can do it. It's hard
assemblies.
To do, It's not easy.
No.
Okay. So you wrote a letter to rap music.
I did.
Would you share that with us? It's a little long, but I think it's worthwhile, and it's Father's Day, and it's how I became acquainted with Mike Keenan. I read what he wrote, and I absolutely loved it.
Well, I appreciate that. I'd be glad to read it. At this point, I forget what I titled it. I think it's an open letter to rap music for the sake of my daughters. Dear rap music, I've been known to throw my hands in the air and wave them like I just don't care. I used to hit up your shows, and you could often find me in the club, bottle full of bub, where if your beat thumped enough and your hook looped just right, I could be enticed to jump MRF or jump MRF or jump. And while I've never really been down with OPP, I do like big butts, and I cannot lie. And man, those were the days. But now that I have two daughters, two centers of the universe, these are not those days. I'm breaking up with you, rap music, and it's not you, it's me. And it's also kind of you. It's your rampant misogyny, homie. It's an epidemic. Your unapologetic sexism is a scourge on an otherwise exceptional cultural phenomenon. A movement I used to wear proudly on the sleeve of my turbo ozone parachute suit while spinning on my back on the cardboard refrigerator boxes my mom brought home for the neighborhood kids to crush grooves and bust to move on. But the game has changed. Since falling head spins over heel kicks for the love of my life, that life is no longer about getting my freak on. And since becoming a stay-at-home dad of daughters, cash no longer rules everything around me. Frozen does. Dora does. My oldest daughter is only 3, but she is a rosebud. Every day she grows closer to womanhood, and every day I'm made aware of another biological anomaly or aspect of gender nature. Just last month at the playground by our house, a little boy approached, and in some brief and instantaneous fit of glee, my daughter turned to me, face abloom, and said, "Dada, he's nice." Probably a benign assertion, but thought-provoking nonetheless. And I've got to worry about this little boy and his dad-ass car, radio cranked up to the tune of I could beep you all the time. Sure, it all comes down to individual parental responsibility, but that's what I'm doing here. I'm taking responsibility for my music choices. I will not have my daughter subconsciously or euphoniously convinced that B's ain't S but hoes and tricks. And to all the young suitors who will undoubtedly cross my daughter's paths, I'll have you know a few things. I don't care if it's her birthday or your birthday, shorty. We'll not be going anywhere but the jumpy house in our own backyard for now. And if you choose to forego happy birthday for crooning about your magic stick, you'd better be the guy in the Gandalf getup passing goodies out to the partygoers. My girls are golden and must be cherished accordingly. You will not be making it rain around my girls unless you're a sprinkler technician. No offense to the women that do it for art or necessity, but there will be no pole dancing in this family unless it's this kind. My girls are pillars of spirit and character and must be endeared accordingly. And when my girls grow into those bright beacons of kindness and compassion that I know they will be, and the suitors undoubtedly come a-knocking, just know that my daughters will not be riding dirty with you, especially if you're on that good cushion alcohol, in which case... they will not be one of your down bees you can call. My girls shine and must be appreciated accordingly. You feel me, rap music? Believe me, I appreciate you as an art form, but how about showing a little respect for the majesty and wonder of the opposite sex? Sure, you ball so hard, I get it, but you need to crawl for your ball, come and meet me in the bathroom stall? You said it yourself. That S cray. To be clear, there are several distinctions to be made between rap music, with its ignorant, lazy, and egregious use of the B-word, and other disparaging anti-female language to color titles and lyrics, rappers using their mama-given talents to degrade and endanger those very same mamas, and the highly creative, often educational, occasionally brilliant, and sometimes soul-moving storytelling that is true hip-hop music, a genre that I champion, a culture that I've held close to my heart for decades. So, as for the former, as a new dad of daughters, rap music, I just can't do you no more. Ciao for now, Dada Mike. P.S. This may not be forever. Hopefully someday you will realize the error of your ways, or the pop culture scales will tip and start to favor a more enlightened approach to hit-making. I will still check in on you from time to time. I'll be forever curious to see how you're doing. Might even meet you in the car some late night to rehash old memories and get our head knock on together. But till then, adieu, old friend. For the sake of my daughters, I've got to kick you to the curb.
You know, it's amazing. That was very, very nice.
Thanks.
It is amazing how our perspectives change when we become parents. How, I mean, everything about you just absolutely goes through tremendous change. Tell me about Dad's Behaving Badly. Tell me about that book and why that's important.
It's Dad's Behaving Dadly. And it is 67 Truths, Tears, and Triumphs of Modern Fatherhood. It's the brainchild of award-winning author and general fatherhood advocate Hogan Hilling, who basically, with the help of Al Watts, who is the president of the National At-Home Dad Network, decided that they wanted to showcase what modern fatherhood looks like and basically posit the idea that, you know, active and involved and compassionate fathering is alive and well in America, despite what some movies and television shows and commercials would have you believe. You know?
Yeah, I love the pictures, too. I mean,
it's
they're just
gorgeous.
Absolutely adorable. And can I tell you something else that I find really heartening? You know, when I talk with people who are involved in, like, men's rights movements, it's not so much about men's rights as it is about misogyny. But when I talk to you and when I look at what you're involved in, you're really supportive of at-home dads, but not to the detriment of moms.
Absolutely.
You are so in love with your wife and so proud of her as a wife and a mother and as a woman that it makes me, I got goosebumps. I just feel so good about you.
I got goosebumps when you said it. I appreciate the acknowledgement. Yeah, I say it all the time, you know. Things like this book, it's not meant to be a detraction of moms. It's a demonstration of what modern fatherhood looks like. You know, it's a window into the world of people that are doing it every day all over the place.
Is there something we moms don't know about dads, something that we should know about you?
Just that we're capable, just that we care. There's an amazing foreword in this book by a writer named Lisa Duggan. She's the sole mom that's in our book. And she talks about, you know, she points out how she was part of the problem in their personal family dynamic, and she considered herself to be the keeper of the keys, you know, when it comes to the gate
right.
of childhood. You
yeah.
know, dad couldn't handle it. She didn't dare leave the child alone for a minute.
Right.
You know,
and it was, and it is. I mean, we tend to do it like you're a babysitter. You're not a babysitter. You're a parent.
Absolutely.
You're parenting these children.
And to her credit, you know, I don't want to say it's an error, but she saw the error of her ways.
All right. Well, it has been a delight to meet you. I can't believe it has gone so quickly. I thank you so much for coming into the studio. And right now it's time for us to check in with John Lobertini in the KGO Radio Newsroom. Hey, John.
Hi.